So my assumption this evening is that you may know what your name means, but do you know what other people's names mean? So here's a question. Do you know what Craig's name means? He's got a lovely new haircut, but can we trust him with his name? Well, simply his name is taken from the Scottish for the word crag, meaning rock. And he loves it, absolutely loves it, when you call him Craggle Rock, from personal experience. So there we go, Craig, meaning rock. So there we are, he's a strong person we can trust in. Well, what about the next one? What about Richard Farr? Here's a picture of him on Monday, practicing his batting. He didn't last long, you can ask him. But what does his name mean? Well, it's taken from a Norman background, and it means brave and powerful ruler. That's slightly terrifying from your associate vicar, isn't it? A brave and powerful ruler. Well, what about Giles? He's not here, so we can mock him, right? Well, Giles is Latin, and it means a young goat. And I don't think that means greatest of all time. I think that just means goat, the animal. Well, what about, if it's going to come up? There we go. What about Carrie? What about Carrie? Well, Carrie comes from an Italian background, originally from Charles, and it means strong. There we are. Did you know that? I didn't. And what about Jonathan? What about Jonathan? Well, Jonathan, well, it means a gift from God. So there you are. Clearly, my name and Johnny Bravo's name means that we are the godliest members on the staff team that you can trust in fully. Well, actually, names don't really mean anything to us these days in our culture. But back in John's Gospel, when that was written, names had a great amount of meaning. Titles as well meant that someone had importance. I told you a lot about who a person was. And in John chapter 1, this eyewitness account into the life of Jesus, well, you see, actually, Jesus is given a lot of names. He's given a lot of titles. And it's all got this one idea behind it that John wants you to see closely this evening as we look at the end of John chapter 1 together from our reading. So who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the Messiah. The clicker's not working, so there we go. I'm going to leave that to the side. Who is Jesus? Jesus, the Messiah, verses 43 to 49. Let me just explain what Messiah is, so we're all on the same page. Messiah is a word taken from the Old Testament. It was all about this promised king in the old part of the Bible. And that one day, the entire world was going to bow the knee to this king, this Messiah. And that he would bring peace and harmony. He'd bring food and wine. He'd bring milk and vineyards. And generally, this king was going to be awesome. And that's who John wants you to see in John chapter 1. Who is Jesus as we meet him? Well, John points us to the eyewitnesses who met Jesus and declared that he is the Messiah. So if you just glance back to verse 36, where we see John the Baptist declare that Jesus, he gives them a name, it's the name of Lamb of God. And off the back of that statement, verse 37, two men start to follow Jesus. Just off that one claim, Lamb of God, these two men go and follow. And verse 41, they're so confident that they've met this Messiah that Andrew goes and tells his brother that they have found the Messiah. That is a massive claim. And as we get to our reading from tonight, verse 43, the very next day, we see that it's another similar situation. Jesus and his followers, they've moved across to Galilee, and there they find Jesus calling out to a man called Philip. He simply says, follow me. And Philip's reaction is identical to Andrew the day before. As soon as he is called by Jesus, as soon as he hears, follow me, he follows him. And he longs also for his friend to follow Jesus too. Verse 45, Philip goes and finds Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. See, Philip tells his friend that he has found this promised Messiah, this promised king from the Old Testament. There was no doubt in Philip's mind. And so with that confidence, he goes and tells his friend. And that is the response to meeting Jesus. When you meet someone awesome, who is great and amazing, you just want to tell others about it. That's what following Jesus looks like. When you discover who Jesus is, when you finally meet him and understand you are the Messiah, then you want to tell others all about him. As we've heard in our recent sermon series in the evenings on the book of Acts, which you can listen to online if you've missed them. Well, as a church, simply, we want more people talking more about Jesus. That's what we long for. So friends introducing other friends to Jesus. Simple conversations between individuals. I mean, Philip doesn't come up with some huge speech, does he? He doesn't spend 45 minutes prepping, oh, what am I going to say? He simply says, we have found. See, we're all looking for something to complete us, something to give us fulfillment in life, something to give us joy and something to live for. I want this. I wish I had that. If only I could have. If only I could go back and change. Well, Philip, that's what he declares. He says, I have found God's King. I have found the person who can give me everything that I have ever longed for. So the most natural response to receiving good news is that we want to pass it on to others. So I remember clearly when my wife Gemma told me that we were expecting our first child. Well, I can remember the great joy it brought us. But I was also then terrified. Because who can I tell? We hadn't had the first scan, so you normally wait 12 weeks and then you can tell everyone and it's a great joy. But then I realised that in my diary I was meeting Dick Farr for a coffee that week. And I knew that there was no way I was going to last an hour of chatting to him without speaking about the joy that we had of a baby. See, naturally, good news we want to pass on to others. That's why Facebook is so popular. And Philip passes on the news to his friend. He passes on the news to Nathanael that he had found the Messiah. Verse 45, the promised one in the law and the prophets, the one we've been waiting for the entire Old Testament. Well, he's here. And his name is Jesus. And in him, this Jesus, we find the thing that we most desire most. The thing we desire most of all is forgiveness and acceptance from God, peace with him and eternal life. So how wrong it would be if we didn't want to pass it on to others. The problem is that I don't know what to say. So personally, I'm fine when I'm up the front here talking to you guys. I'm fine when I've got a couple of days in my week to prepare what to write down. But when it comes to actually talking to my friends and my family face to face who don't know Jesus yet, well, I know that I should be speaking to them about Jesus. I know that without me speaking that they are lost and in darkness. But I just struggle to know what to say. And maybe you feel like that too. But can you see the phrase that Philip uses, verse 45? He simply says, we have found. All people everywhere are looking for something or someone. So how easy is it for us as Christians to say, well, we have found. I have found that Jesus is the solution for my anxiety. I have found that Jesus offers something far greater than exam results. I have found that Jesus will never ever let me down. I have found that I am not as good as I think I am. and yet Jesus still died for me. See, I have found is that it's an incredibly easy phrase for us to use to get into a conversation. But the reaction from Nathanael is a great response, isn't it? Verse 46, can anything good come out of Nazareth? The year 10 and 11 lads on a Friday night, we recently studied this passage, and they absolutely loved this statement in verse 46. So on hearing it, Gideon Gabriel asked me, can anything good come out of Tunbridge? And both Gideon and Nathanael are right. In the same way that nothing good can come out of north of Southborough, when Nathanael knew that the promised Messiah could never come out of that northern hillbilly town of Nazareth. Nathanael knew his Bible. He knew it better than his friend. Because the promised king, the Messiah, this Old Testament promised king, had to come from the town of David. The prophet Micah in the Old Testament, he looked forward to the day. In chapter 5 of his little book, he says, out of Bethlehem will come the one who'll be ruler over Israel, talking about the Messiah. See, Micah looked forward to a time where God would rescue his people and be their king. He would rule over them and eventually the entire earth, this messianic king, and he would come from Bethlehem. But as we read in the other Gospels, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We know the stories, we know the songs that we sing at Christmas. But because Jesus lived most of his life in Nazareth, he's known as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. But Philip, he's not deterred by Nathanael's response, is he? End of verse 46, he simply says, come and see. A simple invitation for someone who doesn't know Jesus to come and meet him. An invitation on offer to Nathanael 2,000 years ago. And it's also on offer for us this day. Come and see who Jesus really is. That's a really great phrase for us to also say when we don't know what to say to our friends. How am I meant to talk about Jesus? Well, why don't you come and see? With Life Explored coming up in the autumn, where we're going to invite our friends and family to find out more about Jesus. Well, what an easy way to invite someone than to say, well, come and see what this course is all about. When someone asks you why you gave up your time on a Sunday evening to go to church, well, what an easy way to invite them and just say, come and see. Come and see these ridiculous people who give up their sunny Sunday evenings. Because of the fun we have as a church family, learning more about Jesus. Come and see what church is like. Or when your friends say, why are you going on that Engage camping trip? Your youth group. Why would you do that? Why would you go under a tent? Well, come and see. See, the key to evangelism, it's not impressive buildings. It's not great courses. It's not even new church congregations. They're all there to help us as Christians to go out and say, come and see. It's the personal witness of a believer to an unbeliever. And it works here with Nathanael, doesn't it? He goes, he follows his friend Philip, and he goes to meet this Jesus guy. He takes a punt. And as he approaches Jesus in verse 47, Jesus says, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now that seems slightly odd, because maybe you'd expect Nathanael to go meet Jesus and then say, well, that man, Jesus, he's got no deceit. I can see already that he's a perfect man. He's a guy without fault. But it's the other way around. Jesus says it about Nathanael. So what's going on here? Well, Jesus is telling Nathanael that here is an Israelite who is seeking God's king. See, unlike Israel of the past, the nation, as well as the man, they were full of deceit. They wanted God's stuff, but not the relationship with him. And yet here, Nathanael is an Israelite who longs for that relationship with God. And Jesus proves to Nathanael and to ourselves this evening here tonight that he is God's Messiah. He proves to us because he has the supernatural power to know not only Nathanael's heart, but also Nathanael's schedule. Verse 48, have a look down. Before Philip called you, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. See, that supernatural power that Jesus has to know what Nathanael was doing, well, that's enough for him. That's proof. He's convinced. Verse 49, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And that's what we long for as a church family, is for more and more people to realize who Jesus is. So we ourselves as a church family want to know this Messiah, Jesus, better. And we want to make the Messiah, Jesus, better known to Tunbridge Wells and to the ends of the earth. And so we long to make the Messiah known to all those who are around us. See, the name of Jesus, the title Messiah, is such good, amazing, epic news. And it's such amazing news because of what he came to do. So what did the Messiah come to do? Well, verses 50 and 51, Jesus is the gateway to heaven. So after Nathanael has declared this truth as to who Jesus is, he calls him the Son of God, King of Israel. Well, did you see Jesus' reply in verse 50? You ain't seen nothing yet, Nathanael. You believe because of one small bit of supernatural power, but just you wait, verse 50. See, Nathanael hadn't yet understood what Jesus had come to do. Do you yourself know this evening what Jesus came to do? Well, listen to the truth of Jesus in verse 51. Truly, truly, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's a strange image, isn't it, of heaven opened and angels of God popping up and popping down on this like Son of Man character. It's a bit odd. And we may be a bit confused, but Nathanael again understood. He understood this link to the Old Testament because Jesus was looking back all the way to the beginning book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Chapter 28, where a man named Jacob encountered God. Now, Jacob was a man full of deceit. He had fooled his brother out of the inheritance. And as he flees his home without anything other than the money he'd stolen, he has a dream. And in this dream, he sees a ladder that goes all the way from earth, all the way up into heaven, with angels going up and down this ladder. And at the top of this ladder is God, and he speaks to Jacob. He assures him that although he's a lying cheat, his promises are still with him. He will bless him. And as Jacob wakes up, he says, this place, which is called Bethel, is the gateway to God. See, Jesus here, using that reference from Genesis 28, is showing Nathanael back then, and showing us this evening, you don't go to a place to find God. No, Jesus is saying, I've come to you, the Son of Man, meaning this King with all authority. I am the gateway that can open up heaven. See, at the heart of all these names and titles that are given to Jesus in John chapter 1 is the amazing truth that Jesus is the King, he's the Messiah, and he has come to save you. He has come to get you to be that ladder so you can get to heaven. The gateway from heaven to earth of which Jacob dreamed of in Genesis 28, so that all who trust in him may enter in. In the middle of Covent Garden is a restaurant called The Ivy. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you've been to it. It's celebrating its 100th birthday this year. It's a lovely place to go and enjoy central London, according to Happy Helen T on TripAdvisor. And to keep the riffraff away from the A-listers, to keep the Tunbridge out of the Tunbridge Wells, if you like, well, upstairs there's a VIP room. and it's a VIP room, to an epic party. You're only allowed in by invitation. In fact, you need two invitations from two members. And then you have to pay the crazy annual membership fee to get in. It's so special that you don't go in through the front door like the average Joe's. No, you go in through the side door. For the celebrities, you go through the secret entrance. So next door to the Ivy is a flower shop. You can see it on the bottom right of the screen. There's a man guarding it, basically. It's a flower shop. And as you walk through the flower shop, at the back is a glass lift. And if you've got that membership, you get up to the VIP room, up to the party. There is no way that you or I could ever, ever go there on our own. And heaven is the same. The doors were locked. There's a no entrance sign. No way for me to climb a ladder. No way that I could do any good deed good enough to earn God's favor. Unless, of course, you know the guy. What if you know the guy who is the owner's son, who could give you access, who invites you in, he pays the eternal membership into his party? What is it that Jesus came to do? Well, it's by his death, by his resurrection, and by his ascension into heaven, he proves to us that he has the authority to let you into his eternal party. See, John's gospel is trusting that Jesus is the Messiah. This Messiah who will bring eternal life to people who are dying. John tells us why he wrote his eyewitness account to the life of Jesus. And I think it's the key to all passages in John's gospel. It's John 20, 31. I'll read it out for us. John writes, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So let us go from here this evening, trusting in the one name that can save us, the one name that can get us to heaven, trusting in the one name that can get us eternal life, Jesus, the Messiah. And that we want to go out sharing this amazing news with others. We have found. Come and see.